Amen. Well, Happy New Year to everyone. I don't believe that I ever bring confusion or distraction into any situation. I'm sure that's never happened before. It certainly has. But anyway, so we are just going to bring a few thoughts this morning. I think as a church, we've been going through the letter of Colossians. If you have that open, we're going to refer to it just briefly. The verses will come up on the slide in a moment. But I just wanted us to think about this new year. I know we all go into a new year with lots of different, I suppose, perspectives, really. Some are very positive. Despite 2020, people will be going into 2021. Some of us setting goals and things that they want to achieve or they want to see God do. Maybe for others, we're kind of just like, I'm going through the skin of my teeth. That is a very English expression that I cannot translate for you at the moment. But we just managed to get through 2021 and we're just thankful that God has kept us and that we're still here. We're still alive. We're still here and we're still moving. But I guess one of the things I just want to mention this morning is just to think about God's overarching plan for each one of us hasn't changed. From 2019 to 2020 through 2021, God has a plan for each of our lives. And I want us to think about that just for a few minutes this morning. But let me read you Colossians 1 verses 21 to 23. Says this, Paul writing, says, "What about you? Well, there was a time when you were excluded. You were enemies in your thinking and in wicked behavior. But now he has reconciled you in the body of his flesh through death in order to bring you into his holy, into his presence, holy, blameless, and without any accusation. This assumes, of course, that you keep firmly on in the faith, by which I mean solid on your foundations and not shifting from the hope of the gospel which you heard. This gospel, after all, has been announced in all creation under heaven, and this is the gospel of which I, Paul, have become a servant." And I guess it was just want us to think about that thought about keeping firmly on in the faith, keeping firmly on, being solid in our foundations, not shifting away from what is the center of the gospel. And for those of us who are new Christians, we're just still building those foundations in our lives. You know, foundations are the things that you build first. Before you build a building, the foundations are the things that are often unseen, they're hidden, they're underground. And actually, our faith has foundations. Our faith is built on Jesus, on what he's done, on his life, his death and his resurrection. And if we're going to keep on this year, we need to keep our foundations solid and firm. But you know what God's plan is? I remember as a young man worried about what was God's will for my life, you know, when I was about 19, 20, thinking, well, what am I going to do? What job am I going to do? Am I going to get married, et cetera, et cetera. And I remember our assistant pastor at the time said to me, God's plan for you is that you become more like Jesus. That is God's will for you any day, any year. That is his overarching plan, is that each of us become more like Jesus. We become more like his son. That's his individual. That's his will for us. Individually, it's true, but it's also true for us together as a church. And Paul mentions it here, doesn't he? Part of it is being rescued from our old life. We were rescued. And some of you will have experienced that recently. You've been rescued from an old way of living. And God's plan is that we would become holy, blameless, and without accusation. He wants to make us more like Jesus. I could say a lot more about that, but I'm going to move on. Because I wanted to mention this morning that perhaps during this year, we're going to need to relate to God in different ways. In order for us to keep our foundations firm, we need to know God as our Father. But we also need to know him as Jesus, the Son, as our brother. And we also need to know the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You know, as parents, we wear lots of hats, don't we? Sometimes we're a counselor to our children. Sometimes we're a provider. We give them things, what they need. Sometimes we're a confidant or a disciplinarian sometimes. They don't like that bit, do they? But sometimes we have to be. Sometimes we're a teacher. Sometimes we are a friend to them. And you know what? God is all those things to us, and we relate to him in different ways. And I want us to think about that just for a few minutes. What about the Father? You know, God is still God. He is God. He is the Father. He's on the throne today. And that word Father has in it the idea of source, that God is the source of all good things. All good things come from him. You might think about God as Father, as God above us. He is the mighty one. He is all powerful. And he's the one that we can go to when we need anything. He's the one that we can go to because he is the source of all good things. You know, Jesus taught us to pray, didn't he? Give us today our daily bread. And he told us to pray to our Father. And so we can go to the Father for the things that we need in life. We can go to the Father for our basic needs, whether it's food or clothing or security. We have a Father who is, yes, he is mighty and he's powerful. But actually that word for Father is the word Abba. You may have heard that. The word for Father, it may translate into other languages as well, but it means daddy. It's the kind of thing that a little child, as they're beginning to speak, learning to talk, they say, you know, dad, 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 dad. That kind of intimate trust that a little child has for their father. And there may be times this year then all of us need to relate to our Father, because he's the one that we can go to. He is strong. He is powerful. He is reliable. We can trust him for everything. Billy Graham said this: "We each have our hopes and expectations for the year that is ahead of us, but God alone knows what it holds for us. And only he can give us the strength and the wisdom we will need to meet its challenges." And there are times, aren't we, when we really need to know the Father. And we need to know the Father's voice. Because I think as we relate to the Father, it strengthens our identity as children, as sons and daughters of God. And that's what we are, isn't it? God has brought us into this beautiful relationship of intimacy where we can know him as our Heavenly Father. We can come to him with whatever needs that we have. We can open our hearts to him and we can trust him. And we know that he's going to do us good. We can find real security in our Heavenly Father. I know many times throughout my life as a Christian, that's been a real comfort to go to God as my Father. We find that security. And it's also important too that we know the Father's voice. We hear the Father's voice this year. There'll be times when the Father will speak to us and it will calm our fears. It will calm our troubles. It will calm our hearts. And so important that we relate to him as Father. I think it's true too, and Emma talked about it just briefly, as we come to pray, we pray for our nation. You know what? Jesus' prayer also said, he said, your kingdom come, your will be done. As we pray to the Father, we start to get the Father's heart for our nation. As we come to the Father, we start to realize and we start to think and feel and see things from his perspective, and we start to see how we need the kingdom to come, and we can pray for our nation. And, you know, it's good to know Roger Forster said the Father's often like a chess grandmaster, you know, moving the pieces around. And it's a very complicated game of chess. The enemy's trying to outwit him and to try and destroy life, but God is always one step ahead. He's always one move ahead in the things of our world, in the things that are going on in the cosmos, the things that we can't even understand. But he's still Father today. He is still our Father. Secondly, we can come to God as the God, not just who is over us, who is high, who's powerful, yet intimate. We can come to God, who is the God who's alongside us. We can come to Jesus, can't we? We can come to the Son, as we've been thinking about at Christmas, the Son who has been given for us. You know, Jesus lived the fullest human life possible. He was God, fully God, but fully man. And he lived a human life human life that was at its best, at its fullest. The life that Jesus lived was a fully human life. He experienced all the things that we experience as human beings. I could list them from joy and happiness and laughter to sorrow and separation and loss and misunderstanding and all those things. Ultimately, obviously, he went to the cross for us. But Jesus knows what it's like to live a human life. And there are times when we're going to find great comfort in Jesus as our brother. He's our big brother. He's our best brother could be. Now, you might have a brother or two. You may not think of them as the best of brothers. They may be great sometimes, but they may be times when they just want to give you a thump. Well, Jesus is not like that. Jesus is our good, best big brother. But you know what? We can walk with him. And there are times when we're going to need him. We're going to need to be walking alongside Jesus as our brother to face the challenges of this year. What's wonderful about Jesus is he came full of grace and truth. Jesus had both, didn't he? He had truth, because that really means reality. Jesus showed us what is really real about God and about life. Jesus is truth. Jesus is reality. But also that comes with a great amount of compassion and love for us. He's patient with us because he understands what we're going through. He understands the challenges. He understands that we don't always get it right. You know, as a new Christian, we are not expected to be perfect, to get it all right. I was listening to John Kirkby from CAP giving his testimony the other day, and he said he was probably the worst new Christian there was on the planet. You know, he just made a mess of things. He just, it didn't all fall into place quickly, and it often doesn't. And as a church, I hope as Hope Church, we are patient with people. We realize not everybody gets it all. Our lives don't change overnight completely. It takes time for God to transform us. But Jesus understands us. He has walked that path before as the Son of God, and we can follow him and know that he knows where to go. He knows how to lead us. You know, there are times, aren't we, where, well, not times, but as there's that picture that God says about being yoked. Jesus says, come alongside me and be yoked to me. You know, as we come alongside Jesus, our big brother, he puts his arm around us, but he leads us, doesn't he? You remember that the picture is of a younger animal being yoked to a more mature animal in the fields, plowing the fields. And as we're carrying, let Jesus carry our yoke, then he will lead us to places maybe that we don't expect. And he will lead us to places where we learn to be dependent upon the Father, where sometimes our thinking needs to be aligned with his in a new way. What's great, isn't it? What's most wonderful is that Jesus has gone ahead of us. He went to the cross and he's paid the price for our forgiveness and for new life. And we can walk in that new life, that exciting life of trusting in the Father. You know, Jesus learned to trust his Heavenly Father, and we'll do the same, but he'll help us to learn to trust the Father. So we can trust in the God we need to know the God who's above us. We need to know the God who's alongside us. But two as well, when we've been a Christian a while, we begin to realize that we need something within. We need the power of God within us. We need to know God in us. So we can know the God as above us as the Father. We can know God alongside us as Jesus, our brother. But we also need to know God inside of us, within us, as the Holy Spirit. You know, because I think there are times when, as we become a Christian, as we begin to grow, We realize the need for God to transform us inside, in the deep parts of us. We need his spirit to be working in us to change our appetites. I don't mean, you know, cornflakes to Rice Krispies, that kind of appetite, or, you know, healthy food from fatty food. I mean our spiritual appetites, the appetites of our hearts, of our lives, what we long for. We need him to break addictions, to control the passions that we have. And really nothing else will do unless we find the power of the Holy Spirit living in us. We learn to relate to God as the Holy Spirit. No amount of meditation or self-denial or whatever else will have the power to transform us, or does have the power to transform us, as the Holy Spirit working in us. You know, the genuine Christian life involves struggle. It involves struggle. It involves striving. I don't just mean about, you know, this year has been a year of struggle, hasn't it? It's been wearing masks, keeping away from people, staying indoors, being safe. That's been one kind of struggle. Some of us struggle more with the rules than others, it has to be said. But I'm not really talking about that kind of struggle. The struggle is to overcome the sin within us. That's the struggle of the Christian life, isn't it? It's to see Jesus transforming us, making us more like him. And there is a fight against the control of sin, against the power of sin in our lives. And I don't just mean outward habits, you know, about getting drunk or using bad language. Those are things that God will do, but it's the deeper things too. Our attitudes, our biases, our perspectives that God wants to change in us. N.T. Wright said this, "A Christian life that does not involve putting to death that which drags us down into the world of the flesh is not worthy of the name." So if you are having struggles, you had struggles last year to battle things in your own life, well done. Welcome to the club. You have joined the authentic Christian club. It's normal to be having these struggles, to be having these things in our lives. And it's only as we learn to know the power of the Holy Spirit, we learn to be able to put to death those things in our lives, as we hold on to the reality of Jesus' death for us, that as he died, we were united with him in his death. And also in his resurrection, we can know new life and a new power. You know, there was an article in the Times recently, you might have read it, that said, that was about research about people who practice meditation and mindfulness. And this article said that there were some rather surprising conclusions to this. Rather than those people who practice, you know, it's really transcendental meditation and mindfulness, rather than becoming more peaceful and more humble and more spiritual, actually these practices had made them more arrogant and proud. And to me, that was no surprise, because the only way that human beings, we can really deal with the problem within of sin and self and ego, is actually for it to be crucified, to be put to death. I know this may not sound like a cheery New Year's message, but it's true, isn't it? We, despite all the challenges that are around us, actually the bigger challenges, if we're honest, are within ourselves and how we respond to things. And what's there? And the Lord wants to change us, doesn't he? And he gives us the Holy Spirit, not to lead us back into slavery, back into the land of Egypt, but he wants to lead us out into freedom. And it's going to be a lifelong journey of relating to the Holy Spirit. We learn to pray in the Spirit, don't we? We learn we need the gifts of tongues, of speaking in tongues. We need to be full of the Holy Spirit. And we do that in lots of ways. Also the Spirit too, and I should say this to bring some balance, he brings comfort, doesn't he? He is our comforter. He is our encourager. He reminds us of the truth about Jesus, about what Jesus spoke. And he also, it's through the Holy Spirit that we know the Father's love. You know, we can't separate the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We interact and we relate to them all interchangeably. But it's the Holy Spirit who lets us know the Father's love for us. And I think this year, maybe there are times when we need to submit to the Father. God wants to be Father over us. He wants to be, there are other times when he's going to be alongside us and we're going to know him as Jesus, the Son of God. And there's times too when we're going to need to know the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I could end there, and probably I need to because time is running away. But if I did, I would be kind of selling everything a bit short, because if I told you those things, you could very much get on with them on your own. You know, you can relate to God individually as the Father, as the Son and the Holy Spirit. But many of us know that the Christian life is not a journey to be lived on our own. It's not an independent journey. And I suppose the hardest thing, I don't suppose, the hardest thing about 2020 as a Christian, and probably for people who aren't Christians, is about isolation, is about lack of people contact. And I believe this will be the ongoing legacy of the pandemic, will be the separation and the impact of separation on people's mental health, on their emotional well-being. It's been a hard year, hasn't it? Personally, because we have not been together in the way that we're used to. And it's been a year like that of no other. Now, people have been a bit flippant. And I've heard some people say, well, the church is never meant to be in a building. It's meant to be out there in the world. And people have said things like, the church has left the building, finally. But to me, the church was never a building anyway. The church was people. The church was a community of faith. And maybe that's true to a certain extent. But it's never been our thinking, and it's not the perspective of the New Testament that we don't bother with getting together. Well, we're going to do church in a new way. Maybe we just don't do those corporate physical meetings anymore. I've heard people say that, and that kind of worries me a bit. But the church is, and always has been, and should be, about the people of God. But God has set up his church in a way that we need each other. And those physical corporate meetings that we are unable to have at the moment are still vital for us. So if you have been missing gathered church, as I have, that's okay. Because even the things that I've just spoken about, the ministry of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, I don't believe, and this might sound like heresy, and maybe I'm going to be told it is heresy, but I don't believe that is enough for us, because it's not the way that God designed the Christian life to be, is that we need each other. We need one another, and that is a missing element. I heard a Christian leader say this, that he's been missing church, and he said, this was a number of months into the pandemic, and he said, if I wasn't missing church, then something would be wrong. The way that Jesus set up the whole of his people and the way that the New Testament churches were planted, they were dependent upon people getting together, encouraging one another and strengthening one another. And we are missing that still. This is not satisfactory, how we're meeting. And so there is this kind of knot in our stomachs, if you like, or there's something in us that will not be sorted out, I don't believe, until we can meet back together. But I think there's a danger, isn't there, that we kind of forget this need, that need that we have for one another can sort of wane a bit. Emma mentioned it. It can sort of dissipate a little bit. We can try and fill it. Well, it doesn't really matter. We can think that we can do without church. And actually, the reality is we need one another. And there will come a day when we can be back together physically, and we will all benefit from that massively. I had so much I could say about it, but I can't. It does make us appreciate, doesn't it, those parts of the world where our brothers and sisters are not able to meet like we have been able to meet. Even like this, they are not able to meet. They have to meet very quietly, secretly, one-to-one or very small groups. We are going to be able to go back to meeting publicly without masks, being able to sing, being able to share, being able to speak together. You know, I think about all those times when, you know, before church and after the church meeting, when conversations start and people share a bit of their lives and they get a chance to pray for someone or encourage someone. We've missed all of that. And it's no wonder that something is missing, because that's what we're meant for. I could go on, but I better not. You know, our corporate meetings are so important. We get to be in the presence of God all together. We hear preaching in person. We can receive ministry. We watch others using their gifts, and we can see how they're used, and we grow in that way. We watch other more mature Christians, and we listen to them as they pray. Now, I know we can do all of that online, but it isn't the same as being in person. So the danger is that we get out of the habit of coming together. And we've encouraged you week after week, tune in on time, come and join us as we're meeting at 11. Put away distractions. Don't replace the together with me and Jesus. Well, it's just me and Jesus, and we're just going to get through on our own. Let me encourage you, whenever we meet, in whatever medium, whether it's Zoom or Facebook, even if it's not your favorite type of meeting, try and be there. Try and join in. Try and be connected. Be in person whenever you can. And keep reaching out to others. Keep reaching out to others. Knock on that. No one can stop you knocking on someone's door. Bring them a bunch of flowers or just see how they're doing. You know, we're free to keep doing that. Let's keep doing that as much as we can. But let me just pray. We're going to probably close fairly soon. But let's just take a moment to respond to the Lord. Let's just take a moment to pray, shall we? Lord, we just come to you this morning, Lord, and we thank you that, Lord, you're just such an awesome God. You're an amazing God. Thank you that you are our Father, that we can come to you, Lord, as the one who made the world, who is the source of life and everything in it, in our world, our universe. And we can come to you as our Father. Lord, we can come intimately to you, knowing that you are able to provide everything that we need. And Lord, thank you that we can know you as our Father this year, and pray that for those who need it, Lord, who need that strong presence, Lord, they need you as their provider today and points during this year. Lord, we ask that you would be that, Lord, that they would know you in new and deeper ways. And Lord, thank you too that there are times when you come alongside us. And pray for those who are needing that right now. Lord, we know there are many in the fellowship who are struggling, Lord, still, feeling isolated, feeling down and low. And Lord, they need your encouragement today. And Lord, I pray that they would know you as the God who comes alongside them today. And Lord, we pray too, and we thank you, Lord, that you are the one who lives in us. Lord, thank you that it is Christ in you, the hope of glory, that you live in us by your Holy Spirit. And you give us a power, Lord, that we don't know in and of ourselves. And Lord, I pray that this year, those times when we need it, Lord, that you would deepen our relationship with the Holy Spirit, that you deepen our walk with him. Lord, that we would hear his voice better and better, and that we would know his power at work in us, Lord, this year. So we just invite you, we thank you, Lord, that you are all that we need. And as we look forward to this year, Lord, we ask that you just take us deeper. Take us deeper in the things of God. Take us deeper in you. Lord, that we might become more like Jesus. At the end of 2021, Lord, we might be able to look back and say, yes, individually and as a body together, we are expressing more of the life of God in our world, as well as to one another. So Lord, just come and bless and be with us this week, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.